First of all, Psalm 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And then turning to Isaiah chapter 28, verses 15 to 17. Isaiah chapter 28. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure stone. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hidden place. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his holy word for his name's sake. Amen. We face a new year, 2016, and we all know that there's not one of us know what the future holds for us. But thank God for those tonight who are saved, those that are in Christ, they know the one who holds the future. I want to ask you a simple question as you face this year, because no doubt there will be days of testing and days of trial and days of trouble in 2016, because that's a reality for each and every one of us. The Word of God says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And therefore I ask you a simple question. In this year, whatever it holds, and when the trials of life press upon you, tell me, where is your refuge? Where's your refuge for this year? I want you to notice in God's precious word in Psalm 46, and then in Isaiah chapter 28, it talks about a refuge. And the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength. He's that present help in trouble. And then it says in Isaiah, the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. For verse 15 of chapter 20, it says, for we have made lies our refuge. And tonight I ask you a simple question. Where's your hiding place for this year? Where's your refuge? Can you honestly say before God, yes, God is my refuge and strength, and therefore I face this year with a sure refuge, a very present help in trouble? Or do you have a refuge of lies that the hail of God's judgment one day will sweep away? And you find that you haven't a refuge at all when the storms come. Now, as we look at this psalm, first of all, Psalm number 46, Spurgeon called the psalm the song of holy comfort. And so it is. Because what a comfort this psalm brings to the people of God, acknowledging that there is a day of trouble, and yet acknowledging that God's that very present help in trouble. Martin Luther called this, he said, this is my psalm. This is my psalm. And when you read the words of his battle hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," you'll find that he took the opening words of his hymn from this psalm. Because he could say, God is my refuge and strength. And therefore, I wish this evening to join together those two thoughts. Psalm 46, God is our refuge. And Isaiah chapter 28, the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. Now, when we come to Psalm 46, we'll find that this psalm was written in a time of crisis. And who but has experienced that in their lives already, especially you older people in this congregation? You've experienced times of crisis in your life. And you young people, if you haven't, it'll come. They'll come your way. And as we face this new year, times like that will come. I believe we're living in challenging times, for example, economically across the world. You can see that in recent days, governments have been tumbled, they've been toppled because of the economic situation in their country. People did not want or desire the recession. They did not want the austerity measures that had to be taken. And governments have had crisis because they've been toppled. Environmentally, you realize that they're holding conferences now about the environment. They're bringing all the leaders of the world. They had them recently. They had a world conference about the environmental issues. That's what they ask is the global warming. But to be honest, man's at a loss to know what to do. He just doesn't know what to do. He says that man's the cause of it. Some people say that. Others say, no, it's not. And man doesn't know what to do because economically, environmentally, politically. Now we find today that that is across the world. Look what's happening in the different parts of the world. Saudi Arabia and Iran, the uncertainty that's there. Iran said today that there's going to be divine vengeance upon Saudi Arabia. See the unsettling, the melting pot of the world. You'll see the unsettling of it, the uncertainty of it, and politically. Man doesn't know what to do. We live in a political correct age when people don't know what to say anymore because they're afraid to say it. Because it's not looked upon as politically acceptable. And so therefore men will arise and they'll say what the people want to hear and they'll have plenty to follow them. Religiously. Look at the world, friend, religiously. What a mess we're in. Heathenism seems to be taking control. Anti-Christianity fervor has been spawned across the world. Do you know that it's acknowledged by governments today that the most persecuted people in the world today are Christians? The most persecuted people across the world are Christians. We're living in critical times. Friend, let's be honest, the dark clouds seem to be gathering. We seem to see the rise of Islam. We see the rise of those issues that are against Christianity and the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man of God that stands up and proclaims the word of God as it is, he's mocked. Or he finds himself in a court. And now we're into 2016. Let me tell you, friend, don't expect it to get better. The crowds are gathering. And my, this was a day of crisis. Whenever the psalm was written, Psalm number 46. But I want to tell you, my friend, amidst all the crisis, amidst all the opposition, and all the powers of hell that were against the people of God, the psalmist says these words, God is our refuge and strength. You know, whenever we look at all of these things, so many of God's people are so pessimistic, they're so defeated, they're so discouraged, they're so depressed. The psalmist is not depressed here. You know why? Because he's encouraging himself in the Lord. Child of God, I want you tonight to encourage yourself in the Lord. Yes, all of these things would depress you if you thought that was the only situation that's going to happen. I want to tell you, God is in control tonight. And God's upon his throne. People say in the midst of all the situations of the world, and we'll see it in verse number 2 in a moment, in verse 3. I want to tell you, my friend, and people say, where's God in the midst of it? I'll tell you where he has always been. He's still on the throne. And thank God he's still remembering his own. Now, we're not going for an exposition of this psalm tonight. We're just going to look at the first 3 verses, and then we'll go to Isaiah. But you'll notice that this psalm's already divided. Because you'll notice after verse 3, there's a little word there, Selah. And then if you go down to the end of verse number 7, you'll find there's a word, Selah. And then when you come to verse 11, at the end of the psalm, it says, Selah. 3 times it mentions Selah. And so there's a natural division in the psalm. It is believed that that word's connected with, it had a musical significance. But it means to stop and meditate, to ponder. It's believed that the music was played on, but those who had been singing the psalm, they had stopped and they were meditating, they were thinking upon, they were pondering the greatness of the statements that they had just sung. That's why we ought to sing the hymns, you know. You ought not to just make a sound, friend. You ought to be singing the hymns and thinking about the words. That's how you ought to read the Bible, not just simply to find out how many verses I can read and how quick I can get through them. No, we ought to read them. And then, Selah, think about it. How many of God's people lay down the Bible and they've never pondered what they've read at all? They've sort of satisfied their conscience. Well, I've done my wee bit. A Christian's supposed to read the book. So I just read the few verses and then I just close the book and that's it. Now the psalmist says, Selah. And I say to you, child of God, be a student of this book, study the word of God. The psalmist exhorts us to think about, to reflect upon what we have been reading. I wonder, do you know and do you believe what you've read? Let's look at those 3 verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters are off roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. It's time to stop. You have plenty there to think about in a day of trouble. And when you read verses 2 and 3, there's plenty of trouble. But the first thing I want you to notice, first of all, before we move on to those, notice the testimony here. God is our refuge and God is our strength. Now, that's a very strong statement. It reminds us of the greatness of our security when we have our trust and we have our confidence in God, friend. You know, whenever you open the Bible, it's good to you to study, as I said, the Scriptures, study to show thyself approved unto God. And God reveals himself to his people. He's the God who visits his people with deliverance because God revealed himself as the great I am. Do you remember whenever Moses asked, and God says, who will I say sent me? He says, I am has sent you. I am that I am, Jehovah God. And you know, whenever you study the Word of God, friend, you'll find that God reveals himself to the needs of his people. Now, you're in need. Child of God, you'll have needs this year. But I want to tell you, God can reveal to you just exactly what you need. For example, you turn over there in the book of Genesis chapter 22, and you'll find a story about Abraham. And God told Abram to take his son Isaac and go to the Mount Moriah and to offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I'll tell you. Genesis 22:2, verse 3, and Abram rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto a place which God had told him. It's good to go where God tells you to go. He just didn't go anywhere, friend. Listen, it says here, he rose and he went unto the place which God had told him. He had been in communion with God. He heard the voice of God. And when he heard the voice of God, he knew exactly where he was going, friend, because God took him to the place. He simply went as God led him and as God guided him. And God revealed himself. Now, you'll notice in verse number 14, it says this, and Abram called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen, and it simply means the Lord sees or the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh. You see, God revealed himself in a way that Abram needed. God met his need. God provided. God will provide himself a lamb. Now, friend, you can go through the scriptures. You go to the book of Exodus chapter 17. You'll find another names mentioned there. Exodus chapter 17. And it says in verse number 15, after the battle with Amalek. It says in verse 15 of Exodus chapter 17, and Moses built an altar, and he called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord, my banner. My banner. And friend, let me tell you, as God wills it, as I go to Singapore and as I go to New Zealand, let me tell you, I'm not going to preach the free church. I'm going to lift up Christ. He's the banner. We're uplifting Jesus. And God has promised in his precious word, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And therefore we leave the work with God. We simply gather around the banner and lift the banner high. He's Jehovah Nissi. And my, they needed to gather around the banner in the day of battle, proclaiming whose side they were on. We're on the Lord's side. And then if you turn to the book of Judges chapter 6, you'll find there that Gideon, he raised an altar unto the Lord. And you know, Gideon was seeking the face of God, and God was calling him to deliver the Israelites out of the hand of the Midianites. They had been under the oppression of the Midianites 7 years. And God was calling him. But let me tell you, Gideon felt his total unworthiness, and he felt that he was nothing. In verse number 15 of that chapter it says, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. Noel Stevenson said this morning, he left education at 14. He's 72 years of age now. And he's serving the Lord. Yes, my family's poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. Let me tell you, friend, you don't have to be great for God to use you. In actual fact, I'll tell you this, you have to be the office, you have to be nothing. Because if you think you're something, friend, let me tell you, God's no use for you. God's no need of you. There's a spirit amongst God's people that needs to be taken from our hearts, friend, and that is a haughty and an arrogant spirit that somehow we think we are something. Let me tell you, friend, the best of us in this service tonight are only sinners, rotten sinners saved by grace. And God found every one of us in the same place. He drew me from the fearful pit and from the miry clay. There was nothing beautiful about us at all. But what I want you to notice is that God revealed himself unto Gideon. And then go down to verse 24. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and he called it Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom, meaning the Lord sent peace. And my, that's what we need in a day of battle, for God to send peace. We haven't time to go through the... Go to the book of Jeremiah in the chapter 23, Jehovah Sekenu. We sang that tonight. It means the Lord, our righteousness. Naught have I gotten but what I receive, grace hath bestowed it. Since I have believed, boasting excluded, pride abased, for I'm only a sinner saved by grace, but thank God the Lord's my righteousness. And I'm accepted before a righteous and a holy God, friend. I'm accepted in Christ. I'm robed in the righteousness of Jesus. Ezekiel 48:35, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. And you see, the Lord reveals himself to meet the need. And here's the need in this day of crisis. And the psalmist says, God is our refuge and our strength. The place of security, the place of shelter, the place of safety. I am the place of strength. That's what they needed. Can you say that tonight? Lord, you're my refuge. See, that was his testimony. That was a psalmist confident. It was a confident testimony. His confidence was in God. It is God, not governments, not anyone, not anything. It's a hiding place for the child of God. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You go through that book, friend, and study it. The number of times in that book when not only the psalmist, but the people of God found God to be their refuge, their hiding place. Deuteronomy chapter 33. And what does it say there in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27? The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Thank God, friend, he'll not drop you. Thank God he'll not let you down. Others may, and others will. But you can depend upon God. Listen, the eternal God. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The eternal God is thy refuge. Then turn to 2 Samuel in chapter 22 and verse number 3. And David spake unto the Lord, verse 1, the words of this song he's singing. Verse 2, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Verse 3, the Lord, or the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He's my shield. He's the horn of my salvation. He's my high tower. He's my refuge. He's my Savior. As he's able to say, his Lord, his Savior, was his refuge. And go to the book of Psalms very quickly. Go to Psalm 57. Psalm 57, verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. David was running here. He fled from Saul into the cave. And he cries out unto God. He said, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." He found God as refuge. He was able to say, in the very shadow, that's all he needed, in the shadow of thy wings. Why? Because the one who's spoken of here, my God, is the eternal God. Psalm 62, verse number 7. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I trust. This is the one to hide in, friend, for this year. This is the one to rest under the shadow of His wings, the eternal God. Psalm 94, verse 22. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. We sang, "Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee." Psalm 142. Oh, there's many others. Psalm 142. It says in verse 4, "I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." It's a testimony of Isaiah. Turn to chapter 25 of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 25 and verse number 4. "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall." But thank God, a refuge from the storm. Jeremiah, he was able to testify the same in Jeremiah chapter 16. In verse number 19, he says this, "O Lord, my strength and my fortress, and my refuge in the day of affliction. The Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, Surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit." O Lord, my refuge in the day of affliction. The Word of God teaches us, friend, that God's our refuge. Tell me, is He yours? R.A. Torrey, the old gospel preacher, he preached a sermon, "Every man needs a refuge." He said, "Every man needs a refuge from an accusing conscience." God has put a conscience in every one of us, friend. You know, there's no torment like an accusing conscience. Many are haunted. Many are haunted by the finger of conscience. He said that man needs a refuge not only from an accusing conscience, he needs a refuge from the power of sin, because sin's too strong for us. You need a hiding place from the power of sin. You need a refuge from the power of the devil. You need a refuge in the day of death. He says you need a refuge from the wrath of God. Let me ask you, have you a refuge? Can you honestly say before God tonight, God is that refuge. Notice what it says. He's that very present help in trouble. He's always there. See, there's some people, let me tell you, and let's be honest, friend, when you need them most, they're never there. But thank God he is. He's the very present help. Can you testify to that fact? You see, what the psalmist is testifying is this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Listen, God has already proved himself to be that help. He was testifying to the fact that God has proved the sufficiency of his strength and his grace and his power in the day of trouble. But notice very quickly, notice not only the testimony, notice the tempest. Because it says in verse number 2, therefore, you see, I have proved the sufficiency of God's grace as a psalmist, and I have found in God that he has been my refuge and he has been my strength. He has been there when I needed him in that day of trouble. Therefore, on the basis of who God is and what God has already proved himself to be, therefore, I don't need to fear. Therefore, will not be fear. And when you have proved the Lord, friend, sufficient, and the grace of God sufficient, and God himself sufficient for your need as your refuge and your strength, then thank God you can say, therefore, I'm facing 2016, but I don't need to fear. I don't need to be caught by the spirit and bondage of fear. Now, as I said, we haven't time to go into this, but I want you to notice there's four things that are mentioned there. And the first thing is this, I don't have to fear even though disaster come. Notice it says, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. Though the very earth be removed, disaster come. Now, let me tell you, the Bible tells me there's coming a day when that'll happen. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. This is going to happen. But the psalmist says, listen, even though disaster were to come, I don't need to fear because I have a refuge and I have a strength in that day of trouble. But not only disaster, notice disappointment come. It says this, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And my, whenever you look at the mountains, friend, let me tell you, they're so fixed, they're so firm. You couldn't imagine anything more stable than those mighty mountains. And yet the Word of God says, even if the mountains were to be carried into the midst of the sea, oh, what a disappointment. I was thinking about the day that the planes went in to the World Trade Center in the Pentagon. In the United States of America, let me tell you, those were two interesting places because they had symbols for the American people and for the world. The World Trade Center symbolized economic power and stability for America and for the world. And yet, friend, just like that, just like a knife going through a plate of cheese, that plane just went through, or even rather butter. That plane went in and the place come tumbling down. Can you imagine the disappointment that was in the American's heart? Oh, they never forget it. Rightly so. Because my, it seems so firm. It spoke of their stability. It spoke about their economic power in the world. And yet, just in a moment, it lay on the ground. Then the Pentagon, that stood for their security. The Pentagon was the place that they prided in. It was their place of security and protection. And yet, friend, both were hit. And the people of America that day and the world were left confused and disappointed. Let me tell you, disappointments will come. And even those things in your life, friend, just seem to be so fixed and so stable. Let me tell you, it can all change in a moment. But even though that were to happen this year, will not we fear? God's our refuge. God's our strength. And then look again, discomfort. In verse number 3, it says, though the waters are off, roar and be troubled. Everything seems to be out of control, not knowing what's going to happen next. You know, sitting beside a stream and the waters are rippling there, it's very soothing and very settling. There's nothing settling here. The waters are off, roar and be troubled. You see, when you can imagine the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, then you can see what's happening here. And as the mountains come tumbling down, then the tidal waves, aye, and the hurricanes and the avalanches and the tsunamis. And have you and I not witnessed what the water can do and the mighty torrents can do? Look at what happened in England. And home after home, friend, three times, they thought their homes were got back to normal again, and then the waters just come flowing in it. You watched it? Did you watch it? As you watched the caravans just sailing down and one crashing into the other as the water carried them down? Didn't bring much comfort to me, friend, because let me tell you, my heart was touched for those people. And then it says this, though the mountains shake with a swelling thereof, a sense of vulnerability, earthquakes, shaking. You know, friend, let me tell you, you might think that there's nothing going to shake you, but I can tell you, one wee wind of sickness to come across you can shake your life completely. Completely. Do you know what you find? When you're lying on your back and the wind of sickness is blowing upon you, friend, you find, listen, aren't we so vulnerable? It takes so little to take us away. And yet in the midst of it all, what does the psalmist say? Therefore will not we fear. I have nothing to fear. With all the disturbances, with all the discomfort, with all the disappointment, and with all the disasters, I have nothing to fear. Why? Look at verse 10. Be still and know I'm God. I am God. Oh, the comfort. Though the storms of life be raging, tempests wild on sea and land, I have found a place of refuge in the hollow of his hand. Before we move very quickly, we'll soon be over. Turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 32. And you know, I preached on this when I went as a young preacher, first of all, to the Ravenhill Road over 46 years ago. Isaiah 32, verse 2. and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. A man shall be as a hiding place. That's the Saviour. Are you hiding Christ tonight? Dear unsaved person, let me tell you, the power of sin that binds you, you cannot break the chains of sin that bind you. The power of the devil that comes against you, you cannot break the power of the devil that's in your life. You cannot break the power of an accusing conscience, because my friend, that conscience will hunt you into hell itself, as it did the man in Luke chapter 16. You cannot conquer the waves of the wrath of God. But thank God there was one that drank damnation dry for me. And that man's my hiding place, the God-man Christ Jesus. God is a refuge and strength. Very quickly, Isaiah 28, but it says these words, and we're just only touching it. It says in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse number 15, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Maybe there's somebody here in this meeting tonight. You say to me, preacher, I've heard that all before, but it'll not come near me. Let me tell you, friend, you're hiding under lies. Yours is a refuge of lies. Men and women are hiding in the refuge of lies. You say, but listen, I'm clean living. God could not expect anything more from me. But do you not read, friend, in God's precious word? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast, because all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Maybe there's somebody who says, well, I'm as good as anybody else. That's true. That could be very true tonight, but it's still a lie. Because the word of God says there's no difference. All have sinned. So as good as anybody else, that makes you still a sinner. In the sight of God Almighty. But you think they'll not come near you. I believe a God of love could not send anyone to hell. How many times have I heard that from people, friend? I believe in a God of love. He'd never send a soul to hell. Let me tell you, my friend, it's your sin that'll take you to hell. Because in your going to hell, you walk past the love of God at the cross. And you've despised God's love. And there's only one place for you. It's a Christless hell. In reality, you're saying, I don't believe that God would send anybody to hell. You're saying, take Luke 16. Just put your pen through it. Revelation 20, put your pen through it. You know better than God. I want to tell you, friend. Maybe there's someone saying tonight, well, really, I don't believe in God. You know what God says about you? God says, the fool. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. And I was thinking about that, friend. The man who says, I don't believe there's a God, and yet daily, every day in their lives, they're viewing his handiwork. And every day of their lives, they're enjoying his mercies. But they say it's not from God. But one day they'll stand before him, a fool. Now mark this as we close. Verse 17. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. The hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. You see, in Isaiah's day, the prophet knew that judgment was coming, and he told the people, and the people knew that it was coming, and they needed a refuge. But instead of that, they fooled themselves. They lied to themselves. They say, it'll not come near us. We have made lies our refuge. And God says this, that the hail of God's judgment will sweep it away. And you'll stand naked before a holy God. Tell me, who's your refuge tonight? God is our refuge and strength. Or will you pull around you a refuge of lies that God will sweep away in his wrath? May God turn you to Christ tonight. May God save you for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer.